In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are arrested, hauled before the magistrates, sent through a mock trial. And it seems to happen so quickly and so forcefully and so violently that they are not even able to protest that they are Roman citizens, keeping them from being unlawfully beaten. The magistrates have them quickly stripped and beaten with rods. I presume that means like a caning. And when that's done, they charge them to be put into the inner prison and put in stocks. Now, I just want you to put yourself in their shoes for a moment. Put yourself in their place. Put yourself in their stocks. And think about what that must have been like. Hurt, bleeding, exhausted. The rats are coming out to lick at your wounds. Bugs crawling on you. It's dark, dank, disgusting. You're in pain and you can't get comfortable. What do you do in that moment? I'll tell you what Paul and Silas did in that moment. According to Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Now I have to ask a question. What motivates that kind of behavior? I think most people would have been shouting out, "Let me out of here!" Most people would have been crying out, "This was unlawful, I'm a Roman citizen!" Others would have just been lying in their exhaustion. Keep in mind, they've just unlawfully beaten them. There's nothing that's going to keep them from unlawfully executing them. They have no idea what's going to come next. But in that moment, what they do is they pray and they praise and they sing songs to the Lord God. What motivates that? What allows for that? What mindset takes a person in that situation and says the thing to do right now is to sing? I mean, guys, let's face it. It's easy to do that right now for us, right? Here we are. We've gathered into our nice facility. We're sitting in our cushioned seats. We've got the air conditioner and 1 week out of the year our heating. We've got all of those things that just make all of this very comfortable. It's easy here to sing and pray. What allowed them in this situation where they had no idea what was coming next? I think that what allowed them to do that is that Paul and Silas understood they were in a win-win scenario. No matter what happened next, they knew they were going to win. They were in a no-lose situation. And I think that no-lose, that win-win scenario is described for us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. I understand, of course, when Paul is writing the letter to the Philippians, he is in a different imprisonment than the one I just described in Acts 16. But I do think it is quite coincidental that he is writing back to the congregation in the town where he was first imprisoned in Acts chapter 16. And while he is in that Roman imprisonment and he has no idea what's going to come next, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he defines the win-win situation. And I want us to see that we too are in and can be in a no-lose scenario. A scenario that no matter what happens to us, no matter what we are afraid is going to happen to us, the reaction and the response that we can have is singing, is praying, is praising, is glorifying God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul very simply says, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's a win-win. No matter what happens next, no matter what the Romans do to him next, no matter what the Philippian jailer does to him next, Paul wins. Wherever he ends up, however people respond to him. Now look, I get it. A caning, I have no doubt, is painful. And recovering from it is going to take time. But what Paul points out here is, if I get to live, if I get to live, that is fruitful labor and service for me, because I get to work among you Philippians, and I'll be able to help point you to Jesus Christ. And so in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell." Verse 24, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." It's a win. If I live, I get to glorify God. If I live, I get to serve God's people. If I live, I get to bring more people to Jesus Christ. That's a win. What a victory. And of course, we remember the apostles, when they were beaten, as they were able to walk on their way rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for the Lord. So even if he goes through it in pain, even if he's suffering, even the suffering itself is something that brings glory to Jesus. He says, if I live, I win. And if I die, I win. Why? Because to die is gain. Verse 23 of Philippians 1, "I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." He says, look, I mean, if they kill me, if the next thing that happens is this jailer or these Romans, whichever imprisonment, if they decide to execute me, I get to go be with Jesus. That's what I've wanted my whole life, ever since becoming a disciple. That's what I've been shooting for. That's what I've been striving for. It's a win. No matter what happens next, I win. Man, what a great situation to be in. No matter what. I mean, no matter what happens next, I win. And when I grasp that, no matter what situation I'm in, you know what I can do? I can pray. I can praise. I can sing. I can glorify God. But I'd like you to notice the first half of that statement. For to me, to live is Christ. We need to pay careful attention and notice what Paul did not say. Paul did not say, but I go to church, and so to die is gain. Paul did not say, but I got baptized, and so to die is gain. Paul did not say, but Jesus is part of my life, and so to die is gain. Paul didn't say, I fit Jesus in, and so to die is gain. I've done some spiritual things, and so to die is gain. I could make up statements like that all day long. Paul didn't say any of those. What did Paul say? Paul said, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. It's not if Jesus is part of my life. It is if Jesus is my life. It's not if I fit him in around the other things that I'm also doing, then to die is gain. It is if to live is Christ, then to die is gain. I need to understand. Dying is gain only when living is Christ. Not when part of my living is Christ. Not when I make sure to do a few things that are Christ. Not even when I do Christ things first in the morning and then go off and do everything else. dying is gain when living is Christ. And dying is gain only for those whose living is Christ. And so what does that mean? What does it mean to live is Christ? It does not mean you have to be an apostle. It does not mean even that you have to be a preacher. It does not mean that 24 hours a day, the only thing you ever do is read your Bible and say prayers and come to church. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that your living is Jesus Christ. I want to run through a few passages. Really, I'd like for you to just listen. But I know if you want to follow along, you can follow along. But mostly, I'd like you to just listen to these series of passages and see if you can hear within these passages the picture of Jesus living. I'm going to start in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, beginning at verse 4, here's what Jesus says. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. What is the Jesus life? What is the Christ life? It's the life whose very source of strength and power is Jesus himself. It is the life that says, I can do nothing without Jesus. It's the life that says, I will do nothing without Jesus. It's the life that says, if Jesus is not empowering this, I'm not going to do it. If I have to separate myself from Jesus to pursue this, I'm not doing that. I'm a branch. I stay in the vine. That's the Jesus life. That's the Christ life. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do you hear the life there? What is the Jesus life? The Jesus life is the one that has only one master. It's the life that is single-minded, that is singly devoted, that says, I have one who governs me, one who tells me how to live, one who leads me, and no one and nothing else. I'm not pursuing anything else. I'm not seeking anything else. I'm seeking just this one. I'm following just this one. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That doesn't mean wake up and in the morning the first thing you do is kingdom work, and then after that do whatever else you want. The Jesus life. The life that says the only thing I'm pursuing, everything else I do is submissive to this. When I am at work, my goal at work is to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. When I am at home with my spouse, my goal in marriage is to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. When I'm parenting my children, the goal is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. When I'm hanging out with friends, the goal is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. God, through that, may bless me with some other things. But my goal, my reason, my purpose is about seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And even here, what's my goal here? My goal here is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And everything I do is subordinate to that. That's the Jesus life. In Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, let's see if we can hear it here. Beginning in verse 5. One person esteems one day as better than another. while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. What is the Jesus life? To live as Christ? It means that what I'm doing and everything I do in view to honor the Lord. And if what I'm doing right now doesn't honor the Lord, I don't do it. And if I can't do it in honor of the Lord, I don't do it. And of course, what Romans 14 recognizes is that there are some issues and scenarios where you and I might approach it differently. But what's our goal? Our goal is to honor the Lord. And so every decision I make in the Jesus life is focused on bringing honor to the Lord. As 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. I do it to honor him. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. It's no longer, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to live to God? What does it mean that to live is Christ? What is the Christ life? It's the life that is lived as if Jesus is the one living it. It is the life that is lived as if what I believe most is Jesus. I believe in him and I believe him. And so I live today as if Jesus was the one living it through me. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. What is the Christ life? The Christ life is living with the Christ mind. The mind that says you are more significant than I am. The mind that says this is not about getting for me. This is not about having servants. This is not about having all of my pleasures and all of my preferences. This is about serving you. Ironically, for Jesus having that mind, it meant going to the cross and dying for us. Isn't it interesting that for Paul, having that mind meant when he wanted to die and go be with Christ, he stayed behind in order to serve. But that's the mind. And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. He died for all. that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. What's the Jesus life? It's a life that says this life isn't about me. I'm not living this life for my sake. I'm living this life for his sake. And why wouldn't I do that? Because he didn't live his life for his sake. He lived his life for my sake. To live is Christ. But to die is gain. And I need to grasp that Paul here in Philippians 1:21 is not giving advice. He's not offering a command. He's not making a suggestion. He's not giving counsel. He's just stating a fact. He's stating a fact. When living is Christ, dying is gain. And there is no other time when that is the case. There is only one win-win scenario, and that is when my living is Christ, it doesn't matter what happens next. When my living is Christ, I win. But if my living is anything else, then what happens next is I lose. Because when to live is Christ, to die is gain. But when to live is possessions and wealth, to die is poverty. When to live is fame and popularity, to die is obscurity. When to live is education, to die is ignorance. When to live is family or friends, to die is separation and isolation. When to live is health, to die is the ultimate infirmity. When to live is honor, to die is being forgotten. When to live is strength, to die is weakness. When to live is security, to die is vulnerability. When to live is accomplishments, to die is forfeit. When to live is entertainment, to die is boredom. When to live is recreation, to die is dullness. When to live is victory, to die is defeat. When to live is career, to die is downfall. When to live is sex, to die is celibacy. When to live is pleasure, to die is pain. When to live is control, to die is helplessness. When to live is politics, to die is being vanquished. When to live is praise, to die is being ignored. When to live is life, to die is, well, death. And when to live is gain, to die is loss. But brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, when to live is Christ, to die is gain. Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. His death was, well, I know because it accomplished his goal, it was gain for him. But in reality, his death was not his gain. His death was our gain. And we are humbled and thankful that he died that death for us. That he left the throne of heaven and he came into this world. He did not live for himself. He did not seek his own. He put up with mistreatment from people just like us, knowing that even when we lived in this world, that we would rebel against him, that our devotion would often be half-hearted, that there would be so many things that we would allow to compete with him and often to defeat him in our lives. And yet he went to the cross for us anyway. And so, Lord, we beg and we plead that you would strengthen us, embolden us, encourage us, that we might put our faith in him, in his coming, in his kingdom, that we might recognize that there is something greater coming than anything that pulls on us here, and that because of that, our living would be Jesus Christ. That our days would be Jesus Christ. That our jobs, our schooling, our marriages, our family and parenting, our friendships and relationships, our recreations and our hobbies, that it would be Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that when Jesus is our life, you will provide for us all things, not only now, but in eternity. Lord, may we be a people that can say along with Paul that we are in a no-lose situation. It is win-win. Whatever happens next, we win. Because to live is Jesus Christ, and to die is gain. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, because I'm not there yet. Help us to support one another, and to lift up one another, to live this Jesus life in honor of him. Lord God, we love you so very much. Thank you for loving us first. And it is through Jesus, who is our life, we pray. Amen. Certainly put your notes away now if you'd like to, in your Bibles. We're going to be singing a song here in just a moment. This is a song that we often call our invitation song, because what we are inviting you to do is make Jesus your life. To make Jesus your life. To realize that you can have life from nobody else. Only from Jesus. And to recognize that Jesus came into the world to live and to die and to be raised. And he did that for your sake. He did that so that your sins could be taken away. So that your death could be gain. And we want to invite you into that relationship with him. We want to invite you into that family. To live is Christ. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. If your living is going to be Christ, it's going to start right there. Can we help you with that this morning? Of course, if there's some other spiritual need that you have, we would love to pray with you and help you. And so we give this opportunity for you as well. We invite you to make your life Jesus Christ. If we can help you, won't you please come to the front right now while we stand and sing?